Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to chat about how to talk to your kids about sex. So Tim is a total theology of the body guru, at least in my opinion, and together with his wife, they run a ministry called Chaste Love, which is all about promoting the virtue of chastity in all stages of life. So Tim is going to share his insight with us today to help us have the tools we need to talk to our kids about sex in a healthy, holy, age-appropriate way. Just a warning and a disclaimer, this is probably a show that you'll want to listen to without your kids around, so you can be the one to have these conversations with your kids instead of having them just hearing it from us. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah. Don't have me give your kids talks about sex. Do it yourself. Okay.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
I'm looking at the notes here. We share our show notes online, and you're an anonymous crow today.
You're an anonymous pumpkin. These are so random. I have no idea why they happen.
So it's funny. So for our listeners, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we use Google Docs to share our notes with each other because we work together on our show notes, and it can show when each other is editing. So when we're looking at it and we see someone else editing, like I see Tim, his little marker here to show where he's looking at and where he's editing, and it gives him a funny name. I don't know why it doesn't just give your name, but you're an anonymous crow.
I don't know. And it changes every time. Every document
every time.
We have.
Yes.
You've been a unicorn. You've been other things.
I'm a total unicorn.
That is. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, but you are for some reason. That's very true. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, let's dive into this. So these are going to be 9 different tips that I have for talking to your kids about sex. And let's start with 1. And the first one is simply keep all conversations about sex focused around the virtue of chastity. It's easy to slip into a discussion about the simple mechanics of sex. We tend to think of the quote-unquote sex talk that people have with their kids at a certain point, and they say, okay, here's how this happens, and then here are the results, possible physical results like pregnancy or diseases or whatever may occur. And those are true, and those are things that do have to be discussed at some point. But when it comes to our sexuality, the physical mechanics of sex, it's just the tip of the iceberg. As most of us know, there are 2 main purposes of the sexual act: unity and procreation, aka bonding and babies. And we tend to brush over that and think of the mechanical and the babies part, but we tend to focus more on that and ignore the bonding aspect. Now, yes, that is difficult to address with kids of a certain age. They won't yet understand that if you put it in that language especially, but we need to keep all of our conversations focused on that, is that there are 2 purposes of sex: unity and procreation. That it's not just a mechanical act. It's not just a physical act. It's an emotional act. It's a bonding act. It's a lot of different things that bring us together as man and wife. And also, we should use the word sex. We should absolutely use that word. But we should also use words like marital union, because.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I never heard terms like that. When I was a teenager, I never heard terms like that. But as an adult, when I hear that, and even now using those sorts of terms, I then automatically associate sexuality with, and all acts of sex, with God's design. So
the fact that sex
is the marital act, or it is marital relations, or it is the marital union. We have so many different names in Catholicism.
Yes.
That we use for sexual activity. I have a friend who's been doing ministry a lot longer than I am, and he'll say, you know what, guys, after a certain hour, don't call me or don't text me, because my wife and I might be celebrating the sacrament. or we might be renewing our vows or whatever it is. I love those sorts of things. This is the same guy who came up to me about 2 weeks after my wedding and said, "Hey, you look a little bit more married than you did the last time I saw you."
Okay.
And he was very right.
That's funny. That,
yes, it's, oh gosh.
Now, can I just ask one question before we move on to the next one? So you said keep all conversations about sex based around the virtue of chastity. Can you just clarify for me what you mean by the virtue of chastity? Because I think for me, I'm just thinking back, like growing up and learning about sex and my understanding of sex and chastity, I kind of equated chastity with abstinence. So would you be okay with talking about that for a minute? Like how, maybe how to help differentiate between those two when we're talking to our kids?
Absolutely. So chastity is a virtue. A virtue is a habit of good. And it's specific to our sexuality, specific to our relationship. So what chastity says is that we hold up sex in a special place. We keep it in our marriage. We save it for marriage. And we keep sex and all sexual activity, not just saved for marriage, but then within marriage. We keep it within our marriage. So chastity is not just physical. It's, you know, you are not just a body. You are a body, a mind, a heart, and a soul. And chastity requires you to purify all of these things, or to work toward purifying all of these things. So when people say things like, "Oh, yeah, I lived chastity until I got married," what they're saying,
oh, dear,
and they usually don't mean to, is, yeah, is, "Oh, yeah, well, you know, I saved sex until I was married, but then I did whatever the heck I wanted to." And that could involve using pornography, that could involve having affairs with other people. And let's be very clear, pornography is cheating. It just is. Yep. We can get into that in a different way at a different time. But the chastity is holding up this gift of sexuality that God gave us, keeping it in a special place, and knowing that if we use it correctly, it's within God's plan and good things come from it.
And it doesn't end when you get married.
It does not end when you get married. How you live it changes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end when you get married. It's something. Abstinence is the absence of something. So abstinence is saying no. Chastity is saying yes. So if I'm living the virtue of chastity as a single person, then, and I say, "Well, I'm not having sex right now," that's not me saying no to sex. That's me saying yes to my future spouse. That's me saying yes to my future kids in respecting their dignity before they have come into existence. That's me respecting whoever it is that I'm dating or spending time with or whatever it may be. That is me saying yes to their future spouses. It's a yes to all of these other people, all of these other things. Abstinence is just a no. And that's okay. Sometimes that no is necessary, but that abstinence, I like to think of it as abstinence is one floor of a skyscraper. Chastity is the entire building.
Oh.
And love is the foundation upon which it's built.
That is awesome. Beautiful.
That's my analogy that I've used.
I love it. Years. All right. Number two.
Number two.
Second tip.
Start as early as possible. Now, I'm not suggesting that little kids be taught the adult version of sex. Not at all. But there's a priest, Father Sean Kilcally, whatever, I haven't heard his name
pronounced. However you say it.
Something like that. He's from Nebraska. And he's a priest who specializes in talking about sex and pornography and different things. He has said that whoever speaks first to the kids, whether it's parents, friends, the internet, whatever it is, they become the go-to source for information. And they are the source by which other sources are measured. Mm. So if your kids learn things from their friends, then anything you say, if it contradicts, they're more likely to say, "Well, that's not what I already know." So that's what Father Sean Kilcally or whatever his name is says. So start as early as possible. Develop a relationship with your child where they feel comfortable coming to you with questions. Because if your kids, you know, if those
like kiddos, any questions, not
any
just
questions.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because if your kiddos don't feel comfortable asking you about their homework or their friends, then how do you expect them to ask you about their sexuality? So then read to them. Specifically, read to them things like the Theology of the Body books for young kids. You can find
those
them
are so good.
Oh, they're fantastic. You can find them at Pauline Books and Media or whatever they the Daughters of St. Paul, they sell these books. And they've got titles like Everybody is Smart, Everybody Has a Body,
So do you have like the board books, because your kids are pretty young? You have the board books right now? Or
we have the
ones that are a little bit older. They're like little paperback books.
Yes.
And they're so good. I'll put links to all of them in the show notes, but those books are really good.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic, and they are at the level of where the children are age-wise, developmentally. So there's that. And then also strongly emphasize dignity. So early in life, we need to start teaching our children that their value comes from God and only God. We need to teach them that it doesn't matter if you're good at sports or not. I was not. Or if you get the highest grades in class or not. Again, I was not. Or if you have the most friends, the pattern continues. But all of these things that we tend to measure our value by, none of those are where our value comes from. So even if you're the worst at sports, you have no friends, your grades are terrible, you're not this, you're not that, it doesn't actually matter in regards to your value, because your value comes from God. So let's work to make sure our children understand that. And because I think if a person really knows how loved he or she is by our Heavenly Father, then the idea of seeking affirmation through human relationships, dating, sex, etc., it'll be completely foreign. And so, you know, helping a child.
Because they'll already be affirmed in their dignity.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. They won't need to look for that somewhere else. Okay.
Yeah. So that'll help them to better kind of comprehend God's grander plan for the gift of our sexuality.
Now, I have an idea, and you can let me know if you think this is a good idea, but this is what we do with our kids to introduce just very basically this conversation when they're young. So anytime that I'm pregnant or expecting, which I'm not right now, this is not an announcement, but anytime that I am, I show my kids this video. I'll put a link to that in our show notes too. It's called From Conception to Birth, and it's MRI imaging of the development of a brand new baby in its mother's womb. So it shows like these MRI images of, you know, the sperm and the egg, and then it shows, you know, them coming together. It shows like the little cells. You can see the little baby's face start to appear, and the spine and the little fingers, and, you know, it becomes this recognizable baby form. You watch it get bigger. It's just a beautiful video. And then it finishes with showing MRI imaging of the birth. So it's not like graphic. It shows this cute little pink baby, and then it shows basically the mother's skeleton, and it shows the baby actually being born, you know, an MRI image of it, in a way that the kids, like, they're not scared or freaked out or I don't know, like shocked or scandalized or anything. It's kind of like a clean rendering with the MRI imaging. But I show it to our kids every time, and it's really cool because they watch this whole process and they get so excited about, you know, what's happening in this baby and how this baby is created and just the miracle of life. And, you know, they know when they're watching the little video, it shows this is the sperm, this is the egg, and they're like, this is the cell from daddy, this is the cell from mommy. They don't really get to ask the questions yet, like, well, where did those two cells come from? You know, they know one's from the mom and one's from the dad, and that's about it. But I think, like you said, it's kind of paving the pathway to open up these conversations later when they're ready to ask the questions and be like, this is okay, because, you know, we talk about this, we show this, we want to know where life is from and why it's such a beautiful gift.
Yeah, because I think that's a fantastic thing to do. And yeah, please share that that video with us. But there are a lot of us, we think, okay, well, children learn about sex at a certain point, you know, when they are, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever the number is that we put on it, we say, okay, this is when they're going to learn about this. And we don't really teach them anything before, because we don't think to spend the time with these different things, like talking about their dignity, where their value comes from, to show them some of the developmental aspects. So we basically keep them, yes, we want to keep them innocent, and that's fantastic. But we keep them innocent and we keep them completely ignorant until a certain point, and then they go from 0 to 60.
Yeah, not good.
It's too much for them to handle at once. That's just not how we learn. That's not how development works. So by pacing them and teaching them at the right age, teaching them certain, laying the foundations, as we both said, I'll just say that.
Sure. All right. What's your third tip?
Number three, use anatomically correct terms. Now, there are more than enough nonsensical terms, disruptive, disgusting, vulgar, crude, whatever terms in the world. And there's more than enough confusion in this world surrounding sex and sexuality and chastity and all this. There's absolutely no reason to make it more confusing. Now, I've had people say to me, they're worried that, you know, well, if I teach my child the correct terms for body parts, well, they're gonna shout them in the store.
Yeah, they probably. Might. They probably. Might.
Yeah. I was at, where was I? I was at Walmart the other day. I'm walking through an aisle and what's on my left? But a whole lot of bras. And what does my three-year-old do? She goes over and starts touching them. And then what does she do? She goes, these are for babies. It's how they eat. And then we moved on and we just kept going. Now, is that necessarily
that's so
as
sweet.
Awkward? Yeah, no. It is. But she understands just enough.
Yes.
And she recognizes that. And if anyone heard that and thinks, oh, why is she saying that? Well, because right. it's correct.
That's
I mean,
that's, it's and it's innocent and it's true.
Exactly. So what she's
and
saying,
it's good.
Is not, yeah, what she's saying is not bad. It's not harmful to anyone. It is true. Now, might there be moments of awkwardness? Oh, absolutely. But that brings us to tip number four: get over your awkwardness, or at least push past it. So if you think this is uncomfortable for you, and it probably is, it is. Almost definitely 1,000% more uncomfortable for your son or daughter. You know, as parents, we tend to think, what is best for my kid almost all the time. But because we're adults living in a fallen world, we tend to have a lot of unnecessary awkwardness regarding our own sexuality. Mm. And so we think, okay, we're adults, we have our sexual lives. And we have our understanding of sexuality, and then they're kids and they're innocent, and there's no bridge between the two. Well, you know, I'll tell you what a teacher said to us one time in high school when he came up and leaned over to us and goes, "Hey, none of your parents are virgins. I don't know why every generation thinks they're the ones who invented sex, but you didn't." And it was something like that. And he's right. The reality is that our children, as much as we don't want to think about this, are designed as sexual beings by God. Right. And so if we think it's awkward for them, it's significantly more awkward for them because they're having to learn all these things from us. They're having to learn all these things that are new. They're unaware. They're all of these things. So let's push through the awkwardness and recognize that we're guiding our children to live a virtuous life. We're not.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we go back and remember your first tip, and this is something I think, because I've had, you know, rudimentary conversations with a couple of my children. If we frame it in, you know, God's design and in, you know, focusing on chastity and the beautiful gift that our sexuality is, like if we can remember that first of all, that can take a lot of that pressure off that makes it seem so awkward.
Yes, yes. Because as I mentioned in that first tip, it's not all about the mechanical. We need to help prepare our children for the emotional aspects, the spiritual aspects, all of these different areas of our sexuality. So let's move on to number five. Try to learn as much as you can about church teaching. Okay, try to learn as much as you can about church teaching. So don't just learn what the church teaches. Learn why the church teaches it. That's that's something that I think is one of the great failures of evangelization and catechesis that we've had, especially in the last couple generations, is people know, oh, hey, the church says don't have sex until you're married.
Why?
Why makes all the difference? And a lot of times people fall into like they're the gym coach from Mean Girls. Don't have sex or you'll get pregnant and die. And it's like, what? That's, oh gosh, that's a classic movie. I don't care what anybody says. That is a great movie.
And, I don't know. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's great. Don't watch it with your kids around. But if you went to high school, you'll love it. Tina Fey's a great writer. Anyway, but not knowing why the church teaches something completely undermines the knowing what. You know, okay, well, fast for an hour before receiving communion. Why?
Why? Yeah.
You know, well, the church teaches that this is the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. Why does the church teach that? You know, knowing the what is kind of interesting, but it becomes really flat and one-dimensional if we don't know why. if we don't know why. So learn as much.
So
as
do you have like, so for a parent who was like, okay, well, I need to learn more about the why myself, because maybe I'm just doing this because it is what the church teaches. You know, I'm just living chastely or practicing NFP or whatever it is within my marriage, just because this is what the church does. Okay. Some of us parents need to dig a little deeper into the why ourselves to understand it before we can share it. Where should we start?
Well, my favorite book of all time, The Good News About Sex and Marriage by Christopher West. No one knows the theology of the body and the chastity stuff from a Catholic perspective better than Christopher West. And he also makes it incredibly approachable.
Okay. And he tells the why.
He tells the why. He explains the what and the why, and he does so in a way that the average person can understand. So that is where I would start, is The Good News About Sex and Marriage. There are a lot of other things. You can look at Theology of the Body for Beginners. You can look at anything. There's a lot of things like that. But that
I'll put that in our show notes, then. I'll put a link to that for listeners who want to learn more about that.
Absolutely. What was I going to say? Children learn from our example. If you're actively living church teaching, they'll notice. So if you are a married person, the way you are behaving around your spouse, your child will notice. The way you are treating them with your words, with your actions, all these other sorts of things. So I hope that my children see me living in service to my bride. Because if they do, then as they grow up, they will have a better understanding of living the sacrificial life of a servant, as opposed to the, what do I get out of things? What do I,
yes.
Well, why do I have to do that just because, just because somebody says something? No. I'm going to teach you what, I'm going to teach you why, and I'm going to show you how to do it by living it myself.
That's amazing.
So, number six, don't try to answer a question if you don't know the answer. There will likely be things that your child is curious about that you won't be able to give a good answer to. Don't guess. The world, as I said before, it's full of misinformation, especially when it comes to sex and relationships. Don't add to the confusion. Don't teach them something they have to unlearn later. Tell them that you will help them find the answer, or that you'll find the answer for them.
And not by going to Google. Don't teach them that.
And not by going to Google. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw that one in there. Like, we'll Google that. No, we won't Google that. We will find the answer without Google.
Exactly. I probably get a message once a week on Facebook through Chase to Love about somebody saying, how do I talk to my kids about this? How do I talk to my spouse about this? I don't always have the answer, but I'm a resource, and there are plenty of other resources. If I don't know, I will try and help you find it as well. Yeah. So, that'll help build a stronger bond. And not that when you say, I don't know, kids respect that. And so anyway.
And then follow through and help find the answer, like you said. Yeah,
exactly. Number seven, pray before talking. Obviously, God created sex. God also created parenthood and talking and all this stuff. So invite God into your conversations. Invite God, the creator, to be a part of this, because God knows more about sex than you do. I mean, it's quite simple. Number eight, right before giving them any sort of sex talk, excuse me, I got to take a drink.
That's okay.
Sounded like my voice was breaking. Like, sex talk? Nervous about saying that. No.
Adolescence, puberty.
I stand in front of whole groups and I use words that a lot of people don't like using in private. Right. I'm like, whatever. They're
just
words.
Say this.
But any sort of sex talk that you're going to give your kids, take them to adoration or mass right before. Then explain how during the marital embrace, a husband and wife offer their bodies to one another sacrificially, just how Christ gave up his body for us. This is my body given up for you, is said by Christ, was said at the Last Supper, is said by the priest at every Mass, and is the action followed through by husband and wife during the sexual act. So hopefully this will help your child see that sex is more than just physical, some sort of physical action intended for procreation, but that it is something divine. That is something not just about me, what am I getting out of this, or what are we getting out of this, but that God is a part of this, that this sacrificial love is something from God and something that God shares in a mysterious way. And it's easy to think that sex outside of marriage and other chaste acts are unacceptable once we've reduced sex to a mechanical process. But when we elevate our understanding of sex, to include our spiritual nature, and to even the nature of the divine, to include God in that. We place sex, we put sex in a place of honor instead of reducing it.
So you're saying that by bringing in this spiritual aspect and showing that, like, this is important, we're going to pray about it, I'm going to show you how this is reflected, like, in our theology, will help kids understand why we say, okay, sex is not acceptable outside of marriage, or these other disordered sexual acts are not okay, not just because of what it mechanically is, but because there's this whole spiritual aspect behind it. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because we tend to reduce it. We tend to reduce sex and sexuality so that children can better understand it, or even older people can better understand it. But when we reduce it, we take away. I pictured it like this recently. If you look at any painting and you reduce it down to just one dot or brushstroke of painting, it looks simpler. It looks easier to comprehend, but you're missing the big picture.
Yeah.
You're missing everything else. So when you stand back and look at all of these parts together, you see the entire picture of God's design of the artist of sexuality. So,
wow.
Last one, and this is going to be awkward for some of you. Just embrace it. Choose your words carefully. Okay. Use the word difficult. Do not use the word hard. Okay. That's just, I've seen that happen. Okay.
Whenever I didn't possible, even think of that. I didn't even think of that.
I learned that one the difficult way a long time ago.
Difficult way.
Whenever possible, say husband and wife, not man and woman or spouses.
Oh, that's important.
You want to keep that mentality of the marital embrace, not other acts or acts outside of the marital embrace.
I've said like the mom and the dad. I guess I should say husband and wife, though. Like,
yeah.
But I guess my kids understand, you know, mommy and daddy are part of husband and wife. But that's kids, a good tip.
I was going to say, kids of a certain age understand mom and dad because mom and dad, especially if mom and dad are married,
right,
they understand that.
Yes.
And they don't see the difference between husband and wife versus mom and dad.
Mom
so
and dad.
I think that's fine of a certain age. And then eventually
Yes.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, never say live chastely until marriage. Abstinence is till marriage. Chastity is for life. It's for everyone, no matter what your vocation is, no matter what your calling is in life. Chastity is for everyone, for all of life. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite things that I've ever heard is are chastity bloopers. I have heard people say the following things. I've heard somebody, a friend of mine heard somebody say this and relayed it to me. They were trying to say that sex is like fire in a fireplace. If it's in marriage, if it's where it's supposed to be, it's good, it's life-giving, it's warm. But fire on the living room rug out of its proper place will burn the house down. What they said was sex in a fireplace is good. I'm sorry. That's not what they said. This is another chastity blooper. They said fire in a fireplace.
I don't know what's going on here.
No. The person said fire in the fireplace is good, but sex on the living room rug will burn the house down. Okay. And they meant to say fire in the fireplace is good, but fire on the living room rug will burn the house down. But that, you know, or another one, which was, we're supposed to keep sex on pedestals. And they said, having sex on a pedestal is a good thing. And it was just like, what? That's clearly not what they meant.
Oh my goodness, I'm crying.
it's good to consider your words because you want to make sure that what you're saying does not steer into some of these euphemistic ideas or some of these misconceptions. Even the word misconception makes me feel bad right now.
Cannot hold myself together. We have to end this episode.
Okay, those are our 9 tips. So we want to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully this was helpful in some way, shape, or form. Join us next time for A Parent's Guide to Depression and Anxiety. Please subscribe to this podcast, share it, follow us on social media, comment, whatever you can do. We appreciate it. Sarah, where can people find you?
Oh, my goodness.
You can find Sarah at 2JesusSincerely.com or at 2JesusSincerely on social media. And you can find me at ChasteLove.org or at TheChasteLove on social media. Remember that 2-year-olds are probably lying unless they say they have to vomit. That is not a lie. Don't doubt them. And remember, you're never alone.